Christians reminding ourselves that it's true. This extraordinary truth that God himself knows what it's like to be one of us. To know, in every sense of that word know, what it is like to be a human being and experience this life. So a few days later, we ask ourselves, so what? Not in an irreverent sense, but simply asking, what difference does this make to us? And as we stand ready to move on from 2018 to 2019, it's a good point to take stock and to ask what difference Christ's coming makes to how we deal with what has happened over the last year and how we will face what is to come in 2019. I wonder how you feel about those things as you look back on this year, the joys, the sadnesses, the pleasures and the hurts. How has knowing Christ coming to us affected our experience and understanding? And the same as we go forward, this extraordinary uncertain 2019 that we face. There seems uncertainties on all sorts of levels in our world and our society and our country. Where will we find the strength, encouragement, healing and determination to live as Christ's disciples? Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, dear Father. Well, those verses from our reading, Galatians, spell out some of the key difference that our faith makes as we face our past and our future. The key phrase there, so that we might receive adoption to sonship, adopted into the family of God, in whom Christ is the firstborn, and we are brothers and sisters. Now, just at the start here, just to say the language of sonship is not about maleness. So let's just kind of deal with that. Galatians 3 verse 26 declares all of us, both men and women, become sons of God through faith. And then verse 28, the categorical statement of Christian equality before God. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So the heart of the matter of adoption is not son versus daughter in terms of gender, but rather being an adopted member, where someone out of sheer grace takes someone and brings them into their family with all the rights and privilege and responsibilities that entails. And historically, in New Testament times, only the language of sonship carries the weight of that, and so will do justice to it. And the key movement here is that out of sheer grace, God adopts anyone who wills into a family, his family of his people. In the light of this, our identity, our security, our destiny, and therefore how we deal with what's happened to us and what will happen to us is now bound up with Christ himself. Now, God himself is the prime mover. As we look just very briefly this morning, a little bit of that Galatians passage. God is the prime mover. It's God doing things. And he does two things in particular that, taken together, will transform our lives about how we live through our past, our present, and our future. First, he sends his Son. And the language of sending reminds us that Jesus is no ordinary person. To be sent by God, you have to be with God in order to be sent by him. And this reminds us that the baby of Bethlehem is no ordinary child. As John's gospel reminds us, he was God and was with God from the beginning. But now, he's one of us. The language lays it on heavily, emphasizes it. Born of a woman, born under the law, he really does become like us. His humanity is real. His Jewishness is real. He knows the full extent of temptation and human frustration and struggle. He becomes like us because, best of all, he becomes like us so that we might become like him. He is born under law to redeem, to buy back, to rescue, to save those under the law. And that's us, among others. And this transaction reminds us that over the shadow of the manger in the stable lies the shadow of the cross. And here we see the promise fulfilled, that this one particular Jewish human being, through his obedience even as far as death on the cross, his obedience will open up a new way of life as adopted members of God's family. God sends his Son, and this work that Christ does on our behalf establishes our right to be adopted family members alongside him. Verse 7, well, describes us not only as sons, but also heirs, a sense of receiving all that God has for us, that we are heirs. And here we find the inheritance of Christ that is the likeness of Christ. I've heard this being heirs and this inheritance described in these terms. It means entering into his unique combination of obedience and authority, humility and greatness, weakness and power, suffering and glory, dying and rising, serving and reigning, the family likeness with all the privileges and responsibilities of growing into the likeness of Christ entails. So first, God sends his Son to bring us into his family and to bear the likeness of Christ. And God does something more. In verse 4, God sent his Son. Then secondly, in verse 6, God sent, exactly the same Greek word, sent his Spirit into our hearts, so we cry, Abba, dear Father. By sending his Son, God establishes the reality that we are adopted into the new family. And then because of that, he sends his Spirit into our hearts to make that relationship real, alive in our experience. And that's something to ponder at the turning of the year. Looking back over last year, when were the times that you not only understood and appreciated all that God had done for you, but actually experienced a deep and joyful assurance of that reality? When were the times when it was less assured or deep? Possibly the deepest work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to bring home to us day by day that this reality, that this testimony about Jesus the Bible talks about is true and real. It is true. We were lost, in a sense, no better off than slaves, but in Jesus God has done everything that can be done to sort this out and bring us into the family alongside Jesus, the Son. And as the Spirit of God makes us alive to this, the tragic thing is we can have such hard hearts that we can lose our sense of wonder at what God has done for us. Somehow in all the busyness of life, the hassles, the headaches, the surprises, the joys even, in the midst of it all, we don't mean to, but somehow we've lost that wonder that captivates us, that God would do this for me. Well, in my mind at this point, there comes a song into my mind. And if you were around in the 1970s, in the days of Sounds of Living Waters, you may remember the song because it makes a worthwhile point, despite having possibly the first worst line in the history of songwriting. You probably know already if you were there. It's the wonderful song, Father God, I Wonder. And it began with the words, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. Breathe. That was the first line. And it goes on to speak of the wonder of being adopted into the family of God. But now I am your son. I am adopted in your family. And I can never be alone because, Father God, you're there beside. And perhaps there were times over the last year when you lost that sense of wonder at what God has done for us. And perhaps going into a new year, it's a great time to pray for a fresh appreciation of that sense of wonder day by day. Perhaps every morning, just to take a moment as you begin your day, a simple prayer. First, a prayer thanking God for sending his son. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son. He becomes like us, so we can become like him. And then thank you, God, for sending your spirit. And help me to cry, Abba, dear Father, to have a spirit-prompted wonder at all you're doing for me. Just a little prayer in the morning, maybe, just to thank God for the sending of his son and the sending of his spirit. And if we pray that as we go through the year ahead together, I'm sure it'll change both how we look back on the year behind us and process what has happened and how we face all the unpredictable stuff that we are yet to face in 2019. Well, as I conclude, I ask your indulgence just for a moment for an image of the strength of this family relationship, this depth of the bond with Abba, dear Father. It is Christmas after all. In the UK for many years over the Christmas season, on Christmas Day afternoon, apart from the Queen's speech, which still continues, they would show the wonderful film of the Railway Children. If anybody's seen that. But it used to be a kind of Christmas tradition. And it's an old film, and it starred the young Jenny Agutter as one of the young children. I hope you've seen it. If not, shame on you. No. And as the story unfolds, we discover that the heart of the film is the hope of a family longing to be with their father again. Because at the start of the film, he is torn away from them. It's a different image to the one of adoption in Galatians, but something about it expresses the power of being brought into the family, the significance of this relationship with the father. And in the film, the drama of the final reunion, where the father returns to the children is heightened by the clever use of the steam from the engine pulling the train. The story is set in 1906, so you don't have to be quite that old to remember the age of steam. I can just. The eldest daughter of the family, Bobby, is waiting at the station as the train pulls in. The steam from the train creates a thick mist, and from that mist, a shadow begins to appear. And I'm going to picture that scene as I quote from the story as written. Only three people got out of the 11:54 train. The first was a country woman with two baskety boxes of live chickens who stuck their russet heads out through wicker bars. The second was Mrs. Peckett, the grocer's wife's cousin, with a tin box and three brown paper parcels. And the third, oh, my daddy, my daddy. The scream went like a knife into the heart of everyone in the train. And people put their heads out of the windows to see a tall, pale man with lips set in a close, thin line and a little girl clinging to him with arms and legs, while his arms went tightly around her. It's a great scene at the end of the film. Not a dry eye in the house. But that kind of relationship, with its depth and its closeness, affection and intimacy, is one reason why the great evangelical writer Jim Packer describes God's adoption of us as the highest privilege the gospel affords. Such is our birthright as Christian people. It needs to control how we experience the life that has passed in 2018 and the life that is to come and how we face what 2019 will bring. Let me pray for us for a moment. Gracious God, help us each day to experience and appreciate the wonder of your work in us and for us. Living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whatever we have gone through in 2018 and whatever we face in 2019, help us to live each day controlled by our identity and security as children of our true and loving Heavenly Father. Amen.